Thank you very much. I have we have prepared a presentation of the project, but also a little bit of the context. I think the design of cities is now only to some extent in the hands of architects or form givers, and I would say it's also in an indirect way in the hands of politicians. And I would say that it is perhaps mostly in the hands and minds of developers. And we think that it is really a drastic shift away from the public to the private sector as the initiator of urban visions. And we consider the project that we are showing a project which is typical for that condition. Essentially unchecked, the city is now developing in this direction, whether it is Dubai, Singapore, or Shanghai, and presumably also London. Unless there is a degree of interference, London has been able to resist this tendency and remained for a long time admirably grey. And that makes it such a kind of beautiful city to stay in. And it took me personally a very long time to understand London. And in the end, in the context of a different project, this was my considered opinion about what is unique about London. And so based on the survival of ancient patterns, roots, and agreements, the city, never formally modernized yet submitted to the relentless pressure to expand, has survived through a regime of arbitrary rules, more of sensibility than of logic, a triumph of improvisation over foresight. Its current vitality and its indestructible authenticity seem to represent a definitive rebuke to the dubious charms of the Grand Projet. And this was a painful realization and statement, given that we were asked almost 2 weeks later to do what on any terms, except the language, has to be a Grand Projet. Now, this is a kind of brief history of London, which compares the area and its inhabitants. So a large extension of area and a corresponding kind of lowering of density. And from a kind of low point at here in the year 2000, there is a clear indication by the current political bosses of the city toward a return to density. I think that the presence of Livingston is extremely important, because Livingston has embarked on a direction which tries to connect a number of factors, economic growth, social inclusivity, and an improved environment, that usually are... this is fine. That are usually not considered to be compatible, and in certain cases, maybe two of these have been united in a single effort. But so far, I know of kind of very few examples where actually the three have been successfully kind of integrated. And the device or the medium through which this fusion of three elements is supposed to take place is density. We want the maximum quotation of Livingston directly in the context of our project, and therefore, some of that density is already becoming visible in the city of London. Now, what we asked to do, and I think that England, without any pretensions to Cartesianism or even rationality, is kind of openly dedicated to alchemy. And so we are working on this kind of formula, almost alchemic formula, to turn quantity into quality. Now, you've probably heard about the sites. What is unique about White City is, first of all, its geometric form. As you can see, almost all the other sites are kind of somehow residual kind of geometries that have kind of survived within the infrastructure of London, or are kind of relatively kind of random. This is a very long and almost rectangular area on the west side of London. On the west side of London. And therefore, one of its virtues is let's say, uncompromised territory, but also the most western part of the city. And in a kind of attractive situation, it will be in the near future the kind of western edge, or help to define the western edge of the congestion zone. Now, what kind of architecture and what can the architect do in the case of the current moment in terms of creating uniqueness? I think the problem between Canary Wharf, Paddington, Queen's Cross, Potsdamer Platz is that all of us are supposed to create uniqueness based on the same givens, and those givens are highly and almost totally abstract. The givens are in the form of quantities and percentages, quantities, i.e. square feet or square meters, percentages of work, housing, entertainment, with a kind of marginal negotiation with the political between the political world and the developers' world about those percentages, and increasingly no or not a lot of pressure, downward pressure of the politicians on the quantities. The typical topology of that kind of development is, of course, well known and notorious in terms of its deadness. It is a kind of completely neutral architecture, almost generic architecture that could be done by anyone, and where the author kind of really either matters nothing or matters hysterically. And for us kind of star architects, we are clearly in the hysterical side, even if we wanted to be neutral. And what, in a way, the result is a kind of curious amalgamation of nostalgia and modernity, in which even in a kind of typically compromised geometric ensemble like this one, which is really the result of almost random givens rather than design, there is an unusual proliferation of kind of formerly stylish names. Boulevard, road, square, yard, park, the entire catalog is being kind of touched, all bases touched. Now, this was our mission, the mission defined by our clients. The clients is an unusually large group of landowners. And when I talk about the abstraction of the kind of current development, this is really an archetype of that kind of abstraction. High density development, high quality urban design, exciting architecture, first class public realm, strong sense of identity, recognized as successful commercial, where business wish to be and people want to live. Here it is. White City. This is its relative size compared to current and important comparisons. You see kind of how unusually shaped it is in terms of all these other. This is a kind of very indulgent and kind of small little zoom. When I was a student in London in 1972, I was impatient with, I didn't understand London at the time, and I was impatient with its lack of public realm. And I proposed a kind of zone that kind of ran through the city, which had a kind of heightened and, needless to say, extremely European kind of idea of the public realm, which kind of actually extended and included this site that kind of, in the most bizarre way, fits in that kind of earlier vision. 30 years ago, and I would even say that the kind of repertoire or the approach, i.e. subdivided in kind of sectors, is not even that different. Here we see the site in London. It is characterized by a number of important facts. There is a motorway on the east, which really thwarts the communication between the site and its environment. It is cut in two parts by another motorway on the north. This is kind of really its only public and normal connection. And then to the south, there will be a large shopping center. Of course, in any developer-driven or privately driven kind of project, the financial risk plays an important role. And so it is in this case, and basically the complication there is that the kind of financial parties start with the kind of theory that the entire development is borderline anyway, and that it has to that a miracle has to happen for them to make money. There, in some of our clients are in the room, so we can talk about it with them later. White City once was a kind of a wonderful area of London, which where world's fairs and a kind of early encounter between modernity and the sublime was organized. Then it fell, it became a sports area. There was a kind of Olympic dimension. In the 60s, the BBC started to build one of its major kind of buildings there. And now almost the entire site is covered in this kind of crust, storage, warehouses, a curiously unurban situation in the heart of the city. This is the space underneath the viaduct and the motorway, which actually, and that is one of these sometimes heartbreaking things that the architect has to do, which is actually kind of intensely used and plays a very important part in the life of this part of the city. There are new things on the way. Foreign Office has designed a concert hall for the BBC, which we face. And on the south, there is this kind of shopping center, Chelmsford, which will be opened for your future entertainment next year. Here we see the sight scenes from the north, and you also see that there is it's kind of really surrounded by impossibilities almost on three sides, here, here, and here, and the only kind of edge that could potentially work here. But I also should say is that there is a trench, that the one road that is normal is kind of compromised by a trench through which the central line kind of rides, and there's also a viaduct of the circle line that goes through that. It's a site that is now simply characterized by a kind of unusual amount of dead ends. Here, you see them. It is obvious that there should be an intention to kind of reconnect the edges almost like a zipper. Because there are so many and so few possible connections, at some point we thought of some almost a mega structure that had tentacles that kind of related to the city. But an idea like that, a mega structure with tentacles, is not something that in the current development could work. Here you see an attempt to sew together and to find transparencies and permeabilities in spite of all the infrastructure to all sites, so that the site can be anchored to its environment. This is how we kind of finally worked, the idea of perhaps a grid, but a grid that would be modified in order to respond precisely to the three conditions, the motorway, the infrastructure to the south, and a relatively serene and uncompromised part in the center. So from the beginning, we thought there would be three zones, and the project is really an almost an anthology of what could happen in those three zones. You showed the 2 minutes first, so okay, very good. So I will, in that case, actually explain the project. Once we had three zones, we kind of worked, and both for our own education, but also for the education of the clients and the kind of political parties that were involved, some kind of strip book where different kind of developments were projected on the site to see what their kind of presence would generate. And here we have the project in its current form. You here look from the south. And what I think is attractive about both the site and the project is that on one hand, it can be interpreted like a linear project, with therefore an unusually long kind of thematic path. But on the in the other direction, in this one, it is simply a kind of very thin screen of urban conditions that doesn't separate, but actually connects kind of currently separated conditions. And an important thing for our project was to kind of work with the kind of colossal blocks that the BBC has already generated in the area, so that they would no longer be kind of marooned, but actually find a response in the project that you see here. So here, what you see here is kind of really the north condition with the motorway. This is more serene and coherent central condition. And here to the south, a condition that is more improvised. This is the urbanism. Initially, we worked with kind of really separate conditions, but in the end,
we lose your voice on the back.
Okay, sorry.
Do you want the handheld?
No. I should simply be more disciplined. Here, and when I said that the one of the difficulties of the current designer is to try to find a plausible way of generating urban form on the basis of highly abstract givens. And you see here the kind of programmatic conditions, but you also see that there is not a single specific entity that could give character to this whole development. And therefore, what we have actually done, and this is kind of in terms of work, simply speculated on the emanation and the impact of the presence of the BBC, on the presence of kind of small-scale kind of offices, and therefore imagined a kind of media-based, muse-like, flexible condition of work and life for a large part, with perhaps the presence of other important media companies, but without either proscribing or excluding any other condition. We also, from the very beginning, were totally aware that any form in this thing, given the lack of absolute control, needs to be able to be any of the problematic elements, i.e. yellow can be offices or housing, purple can be offices or housing, blue can be offices or housing. So there again, to create specificity with indeterminate substance, that seemed to be the key issue in this project. And therefore, to a large extent, I would say that the character is derived from the encounter with the specific and unique conditions of each sector. This is the previous condition, and this is the condition that we going to propose. Perhaps it's shocking for our office to kind of produce such a kind of seamless project and such a kind of urbanistic project. For us, it was kind of really interesting to try and to create a section of London that looked fragmented as London does, and that has the kind of intricate and eccentric connections that London does, and that actually is divided in two parts. One section, which is kind of purely the project, where the project is on its own, so to speak, and on Wood Lane, facing the existing city, a series of objects that kind of relate and resonate with the existing situation.
Running out of time.
Okay. Muse, very important here. In the north, we see Muse. Then we expected that there might be headquarters that we built on both sides of the motorway with some kind of claim to be an entrance to London. The spaces underneath the motorway kind of not denatured, but actually kind of used to extend that kind of urban life. The kind of central part, which is kind of more coherent, which has a proposal for a new station that kind of works both for the city and for the new part. Here, an old station, a new station, but instead of that, a kind of new station. And then kind of finally a sector where the kind of circular building of the BBC is used to negotiate a number of complex geometric conditions and also to create a kind of formal, not only coherence, but also kind of uniqueness in the City of London that helps to work with the encounter between our project and the shopping center. It's a project that is kind of based on fragments, but there is one consistent theme that is a number of high-rises along the motorway, the north-south motorway, which we felt was necessary or desirable to exploit the length of the site for once a kind of complex, coherent complex in London, and that is what you see here. We worked with the Wurtz brothers of Belgium. They do one kind of formal square in the north and one informal square in the south, and that is it. Thank you.